Good morning. I hope everyone is doing great on this wonderful Friday morning. You are listening to WHUS Stores 91.7 FM, more specifically, the Husky Nation News Show. You're going to get a lightning fast yet exceptionally thorough recap of the need-to-know news about the University of Connecticut, courtesy of the WHUS News Department and UConn's own newspaper, The Daily Campus. I'm your host, LJ Karam. Let's get started. We begin our coverage this week with an update on the parking lot and bus transportation kerfuffle that's been plaguing campus and UConn students as of late. This story was covered by Marlies Lessing of the Daily Campus. On Monday, September 10th, Associate Vice President of Facilities Operations Mike Jednak met with Undergraduate Board of Trustees Representative Christine Savino and Graduate Representative Sam Surowitz to discuss the controversial changes made to bus routes and parking lots this year. Jednak says altering the bus routes was an attempt at thinning down the amount of traffic on Hillside Road for the sake of safety. However, this means that the bus lines were redirected toward the periphery of campus, and students would have to rely on transfers to other lines to get to the center of campus from its outskirts. Blue and yellow line were changed recently in response to complaints. However, students are still dissatisfied with the results. Commuter students are being greatly affected by these changes. Savino says she's seen students sitting or sleeping in their cars because they have to arrive on campus hours before necessary in order to secure a parking spot with their parking passes. She says many students who have purchased parking passes cannot even use them because the space is so limited due to the changes implemented this semester. Another group having difficulty with the changes is disabled students. There is limited availability for handicapped parking spots near lecture halls, and the university lacks the necessary amount of accessibility vans to transport disabled students. Jednak says he is planning to work with the Center for Students with Disabilities to create an environment with more transparency and openness to student feedback. The elimination of non-resident overnight parking was another concern. While there is no guarantee of the reinstatement of overnight parking, there is potential the time limits will be shifted past 1 a.m. in order to accommodate students who are working late or who are at the library, which closes at 2 a.m. on weekdays. If there are no changes to the current situations, Jednak proposes a bike share program be implemented to help students get to the core of campus. All in all, he says that he agrees in the future, student feedback and input on parking decisions is vital if any changes are to succeed. UConn Parking Services Manager Dwight Atherton was absent from this meeting. Again, this story was covered by Daily Campus News Editor Marlies Lessing. In more big news on campus, the university's Operations and Information Management Department Head, Ram D. Gopal, has resigned from his position after an accusation that he took part in an inappropriate relationship with an employee he supervised and a violation of university travel expenditure policies. Ashley Anglisano covered the story for the Daily Campus and reports that Gopal filed invalid business expenses to be reimbursed by the school and also took his administrative assistant, Melissa Burke, on non-university trips to Dublin, Los Angeles, South Korea, and India. These trips were listed as business for workshops and conferences held by Workshops on Information Technologies and Systems, or WITS. Gopal is the president of WITS. However, it is an organization not established by the university, meaning that these business trips were not eligible to be reimbursable by UConn. According to an official memo released by University Audit Services, it appears that Gopal and Burke took personal days to sightsee during these trips. These travels resulted in over $23,000 of unallowable reimbursed travel expenses. As per the same memo, Burke and Gopal were also noted to have approved each other's travel expenses, despite red flags such as Burke standing as an employee under Gopal's direct supervision and their mutual involvement in the trips. UConn spokesperson Stephanie Reitz says there was record of Gopal volunteering to reimburse the university for all improper travel expenses incurred while undergoing the dismissal process. However, it is unclear if this repayment has actually happened. Gopal was hired by the university in September 1993, and his resignation took effect at the end of August. Burke began as a temporary employee in early 2013 and still remains in her position as an administrative assistant in the School of Business Operations and Information Management Department. The story was, once again, covered by Ashley Anglisano of the Daily Campus. For our next story, we're going to put the spotlight on a piece written by WHUS's very own news director, Daniela Doncel, on a new opportunity some regional campus UConn students have at living the on-campus life here at Stores. A pilot program instituted this semester allows students from the UConn-Hartford and UConn-Avery Point regional campuses to live on campus at stores and revel in the excitement of what the dorm life experience is like. These students must still take a majority of their classes at their accepted campuses, but they can take some classes at the store's campus. Their fee bills will reflect the cost of their on-campus housing. However, they will not be charged regional campus student fees, and their tuition will not change. UConn spokesperson Stephanie Reitz says the Connecticut Transit buses are a big help with the facilitation of this program, especially with students who come from the Hartford campus. UConn students are eligible to receive a U-Pass, which allows them unlimited rides on public transportation within the state. This makes it much easier to travel back and forth between stores in downtown Hartford. ResLife has also made an exception on the parking front when it comes to the select 109 students. Typically, a student is allowed to purchase a parking pass when they have arrived at or passed the threshold of 54 credits and is assigned store's campus housing. These pilot program students have been allowed the ability to have a car on campus without needing the 54 credits that are traditionally necessary. University of Connecticut Dining Services has also been a great help to the students by providing them conveniently packed on-the-go meals if they can't be on campus at stores during hours in which the dining halls are opened. For some, the program has provided many students with the ability and opportunity to get involved on campus and contribute to the store's campus community. However, those opposed for fiscal reasons, such as Hartford campus student Erin Matthew, believe there's no point to living up at the store's campus if you have to take a majority of your classes at a regional campus. This pilot program is to be used as a trial to test demand for future semesters for the same interest. Next up, Gabriella DeBenedictis covered a story for the Daily Campus on updated national university rankings and where UConn fits into the mix. As you might remember from last year, the University of Connecticut was ranked 105th by the Wall Street Journal's annual college rankings and ranked 18th among national public universities by the U.S. News & World Report. This year, UConn's Wall Street Journal ranking climbed up to 97th, making it one of about two dozen public universities in the top 100. On the converse, the university's ranking by U.S. News dropped to 22nd when compared to other national public universities. UConn spokesperson Stephanie Reitz says this fall in rank may have something to do with the cuts in financial support that the school has faced and continues to face from the state. The university's fall in ranking seems to have less to do with overall quality of education and the success of its graduates and more to do with finances, such as funding from the state or donations made by alumni. While University President Susan Herbst notes that a fall or a rise in a few spots in the rankings is guaranteed to happen year to year, she says achieving a more stable financial future will help to sustain the school's high ranking in years to come. Gabrielle DeBenedictis reported this story for the UConn School newspaper. Finally, we close out this week's news coverage with a story on the hard-hitting topic on everyone's minds, textbooks. Love them or hate them, whether you pay full price or pirate the PDF somewhere online, textbooks are undoubtedly a vital part of a university education. So, obviously we can agree that it's frustrating to not have them available 2 weeks into the semester, right? Joseph Salze wrote all about it for the Daily Campus this week. Changes recently implemented at the campus bookstore have caused delays with the availability of some Pearson textbooks, some of which are needed for the university's most enrolled in classes, such as Stat 1000Q. Pearson is one of the largest textbook publishers in the world, which means that their materials are popular among many courses available at the university. The primary concern with these delays and back orders is that many students will not be able to make the deadlines for returning textbooks. The bookstore has no plans to amend these deadlines, despite the fact that the delays and back orders were caused due to a mistake in their new system. We don't have time for a recap of it today, but this week, WHUS's news director Daniela Doncel talked to UConn PIRG leaders Walter Dodson and Emily O'Hara about the New Voters Project campaign. You can find that story and so much more content on our website, so check it out! That brings the news portion of our show to an end, folks. Next up is our interview portion, where I've got two friends in the studio with me, and we're sure to have a great conversation. But first, we're going to take a short break.
Hi, everyone. This is Javon sending greetings from UConn Women's Center. Our mission at the center is to advocate, educate, and provide a variety of support services geared towards the achievement of gender equity at the university and within the community at large. We provide a safe and welcoming space for all, yes, men, even you, to enjoy. We provide all of this while maintaining open-mindedness and showing respect for all in times of crisis as well as in day-to-day interactions. Our doors are open between the hours of 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. Mondays through Thursdays and 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Fridays. We are located on the fourth floor of the Student Union, so please feel free to stop on by, even if it's just to say hello. To find out more about our events or just more information, you can check out our website at www.womenscenter.uconn.edu. Thanks for listening.
And we're back. As promised, we're going to be moving on to our discussion segment. As a disclaimer, please note that from this point forward, the views and opinions expressed on this Husky Nation News broadcast are those of the hosts and guests and are not necessarily the views of the staff, management, or licensee of WHUS Radio or the University of Connecticut. Joining me this week are WHUS News Director Daniela Doncel and WHUS General Manager Amanda Minicucci to give their opinions about the parking and bus situation on everyone's minds. What's up, guys?
Hey.
Hi.
So, first off, do either of you live on campus or are you off campusers?
I'm off campus.
Okay.
I live off campus as well, about 20 minutes away.
All right. So, do you guys use the bus a lot? Do you have cars?
I do have a car. I have never actually used the bus to get to class because they were always so unreliable, but I'm pretty glad that I don't because I've heard that now they're like 40-minute wait times instead of the 50-minute.
So that's something that I've learned from, you know, reading the articles in the Daily Campus. Because now I never used the buses before because last year I lived in McMahon, which is the center of campus, so you don't really need to use the buses for anything if you live there. And then the years before, I would just walk, but that was because when I was a freshman in orientation, they told us that if you took the buses, you would undoubtedly gain the freshman 15. I gained the freshman 25, and that's just because they had cheesecake available in the dining hall at all times. So
I could understand that.
But now I live in the Oaks and it is kind of annoying that I'm 15, 20 minutes away from stuff because what if I want to make sure that I have, you know, my lunchbox?
Yeah.
What if I want to sleep in 5 minutes? What if the elevator is being slow?
Totally.
So I go take the bus and there are a lot of buses that definitely they've kind of rerouted the buses to go to Store Center, but they go to Store Center from weird places. All come from north and east.
Five stops.
Yeah.
On the opposite side of campus than you need to be.
Yeah, and so the only bus that will go from the Buckley stop to the center of campus is Green Line. As far as I've checked, I'm pretty sure. Green Line or Silver Line maybe, but
yeah. It's hard to check. I mean, they just updated the app before school started.
Yeah.
And then 2 days later I had some friends that were two lines just dropped off the map and we didn't get any notification about it.
Well, so that's the thing. There was someone who posted in the buyer a few days ago who was complaining because Yellow Line changed their stops.
Yeah.
But it wasn't updated to reflect that on the app.
And the bus stops I heard also they were not showing up on the map where they were supposed to be.
Yeah.
So there was one stop on the app that was advertising the visitor center, but it was actually for the bus stop at North, which is pretty sizable distance apart. If you're trying to get somewhere or transfer to a different bus and you don't know where it's stopping.
Yeah, I personally don't like the app at all. I used to, so when I lived at North Campus, and I always took very reliably Orange Line because it was really convenient and it was just a short line, right? Yeah. So I always just went onto the app to see an approximate time to use it. But there were always those days where it was just oh yeah, it's at Horse Barn Hill, when in reality it was at North Garage or something.
Yeah.
So I just never trusted the app at this point. I'm you kind of have to just guess.
Yeah, I definitely know that my friends who live in Hunting Lodge and live in Celeron, because the like Purple Line, I think, is the one that goes there now, and it comes like every like it has like peak and off peak hours. Is that I never took the bus before. Is that a thing that's always been?
I'm not sure because I remember seeing the bus at all times of the day and night last year. And this past week, I was walking to my car at 7:30 at night, and the only bus I passed had a sign in the window that said out of service, like on the top in the letters. And I was like, where are all the buses? It's pitch black outside.
I feel like
nobody's around.
Literally, I feel like I only see the buses at night, if anything. Like, I almost never see them, like, out.
Oh, that's interesting.
During the day. I don't know if that's just me and I need to actually, like, go out from, like, the building. But, yeah, I have no idea.
Like, there was a... Because when I was, like, looking at the original changes, they said that, like, the peak time and the off-peak time for Purple Line was, like, sometime in the morning. So, like, if you had an 8 a.m. class, that would be, like, at off-peak. So, like, you couldn't just, like, leave for your class at, like, a normal time. You'd have to leave, like, an hour before.
That's annoying.
Yeah. Like, the thing is, I feel like the buses now, time-wise, because they've been rerouted and there's not a lot of traffic in their routes anymore, they're theoretically, like, they are more efficient. Like, they get to more stops on time. But, like, what's the point? Like, if they're inconvenient for everyone else.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I just think, I think, like, there was the, you know, you mentioned earlier about how they were trying to be, like, thinking about safety and, like, all the things going on. And
there's
like
construction everywhere.
Yeah, and you know what? That makes sense. But if you genuinely think about it, the people who are using the buses are using it to get onto campus. So the idea of putting it around the perimeter of campus and focusing on that whole aspect of it is not logical.
It's not helpful at all.
It's just like, if I live far off campus and I'm trying to get on time to the Oaks, the best place for me to get off at is like Fieldhouse or, you know, Fairfield Way or something.
They're talking about like they rely on like transfers. We're not like a big metropolitan hub. We don't need, like, we should not have to rely on transfers.
No.
It takes you long enough to find what time the bus is going to come on that app. Like, you can't hope that the bus is actually going to get to where it needs
to go on time. Kills me every time.
Yeah. No, it's definitely an issue. And, yeah, I just saw that there was a post made on Facebook, like, of, like, a survey going around, just asking people's opinions and, like, stories.
Omar
Tawai was the one who put it up, and I'm sure it's getting a bunch of responses, so we'll just have to wait and see what happens after that. I mean, you know, transportation made their statement, but are they actually going to make any changes? I don't know.
Well, so the thing with the bike share program, there's, like, that. I can't ride a bike, Daniela.
Really?
I can't. Okay, it's like I can't ride a bike.
I have two things to say about that. One, I don't think it's a bad idea, except for the fact that we experience awful weather conditions in the winter, and we spend most of our time here in the winter. That's not practical. One.
No, I had a bike on campus, and the times that I slipped off the sidewalk and fell because of ice or because, like, zooming around somebody else, and then you can't go on the road
because
the buses glare at you or honk at you, and you're like, great, I'm going to cause an accident.
Yeah, but then, so there's this, the second comment I had, which I think is interesting, is that I'm seeing, like, oddly enough, more and more people use scooters. I first saw that actually in Paris when I studied abroad, where a lot of professional women use scooters around the city, and I was just like, how clever. Scooters are great. They're coming, making a comeback.
Scoot.
And then I saw that they're using it in the city, in I think Los Angeles, like they're they have like available like publicly for people to use scooters. Don't quote me on that, but I saw that somewhere. And so now I see that some people are using that here, and I'm like, okay, that's great, except for the fact that scooters, as great as they are, need, like, not all surfaces are great for scooters. Yeah. Am I making sense?
Well, so that, and, like, even with all these, like, non-walking forms of, like, transportation to and from the parking lots and whatever, that means that all the sidewalks are, like, just going to be clogged with scooters and people on bikes.
Yeah, I almost got hit by a scooter on the sidewalk the
other
day.
Oh, no!
I'm a huge proponent.
I'm so glad you made it here today.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, I don't know. My biggest thing is the weather.
Lanes.
We need bike lanes.
Wait, we don't have
some bike lanes.
We don't have bike lanes?
No. No,
we
don't.
We have do we have white lines on our roads?
That's true. I think we do have white lines, but we don't have any bike lanes.
And it's like 2 inches wide.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know. I think that statement was kind of just made like on the spot.
Well, so that's the thing. We have a bike share program.
We do actually.
It costs like $60. I don't know if that's for a full year, like a semester, but like we have it.
Why not? Yeah, at that point, you might have just sold.
Yeah. international students.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's
I have a couple exchange friends from Australia, and they they asked a lot of questions about the bike exchange program.
That's fair.
Like, where do you keep the bike for the bike exchange?
They have racks next to the library. I've seen a lot of them, like, near stores.
So do you always
center.
Have to return it at the end of the day to this library and then walk back?
I'm not 100% sure about the specifics.
Super beneficial, because if you're coming from Towers or something, so yeah. You can't get a bus, so you need your bike, but you have to go to the center of campus to get your bike.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. So I have a question, Amanda. You said that you used a bike at one point.
Yeah.
So did you use it like during the winter? Because you slept on ice.
I did use it during the winter a couple times. It is definitely more difficult and freezing cold because you can't really wear like huge gloves.
I was just about to ask.
The wind is terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, Storrs wind in general is awful, and the like when the, you're riding
second windy city.
Literally.
Like, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah, it wasn't very fun. Definitely wish that I could have used the buses, but the buses never came at times that were optimal for me getting out of class.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many class schedules for students on campus. Some classes get out at 11, some get out at 11:05, some get out at 11:15. Like,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a one-hour class or a 50-minute or two-hour,
yeah.
It's
well,
hard to schedule.
Well, that's
everyone.
The thing. With so many students on campus, it's so difficult to accommodate everyone.
Yeah.
But the old system, as much as we complained about it, worked, and so now we have this new system that people are clearly not a fan of.
Yeah.
So why did we even make that change in the first? I don't know.
Efficiency. I don't know.
I mean, is it?
That's the thing. Like, they really consulted no students. It's like they didn't consult anyone like who goes to the university. Like, that's wild to me that like they're like, oh yeah, no, we failed on that. It's like, doesn't that seem like a logical thing to do if you're making a decision that impacts
the
students?
The
like what
if they changed it, if they didn't like hear from students and say like this is a way you could have
well
made
so
it
yeah that's the thing
what,
I don't
what was the reason
yeah
oh my God. And yeah. Okay, so I promised you guys like a bombshell.
Oh, yes.
Oh boy.
Okay, so parking situation.
Yeah,
you know the deal with the no overnight parking in the commuter lots.
Yeah.
And you know that, like, that doesn't make sense for people who live in, like, well, Orchard Acres, you can get, like, a parking pass there.
Yeah.
But for people, like, who live in the Oaks.
Yeah.
Who don't want to pay, like, $800, $700 for an Oaks Garage parking pass, like, rely on getting, like, a C-Lot pass.
Mm-hmm.
So they, which is, like, what, $200?
Mm-hmm.
So you can just, like, park their car there.
Yeah.
So no overnight parking. Over the summer, my coworker sitting with me in the van, she lives in the Oaks, she's like outraged. She calls parking services in the van before we gotta go like into the Hartford Public Library,
mm-hmm.
and she is livid, like chewing them out. She's like, you guys didn't even like notify us. I already bought like a C-Lot parking pass. You never told us there wasn't gonna, that's the thing, they also didn't tell students.
Been overnight.
Yeah,
right.
They didn't tell students that there was no non-resident like overnight parking anymore.
Yeah.
And so a lot of them would, like, buy C-Lot passes, like, if they lived in the
mm-hmm,
Oaks.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy on the phone with her was like, hey, like, we haven't announced it yet. We're doing, like, a special thing, like, with, like, we're working with the Oaks. All I can, like, nothing is, like, finalized now, but, like, I would, like, recommend to you that you need to get on the waiting list for the Oaks parking pass. Those parking, that wait list fills up in, like, October. So she's like, fine, whatever. Like, she's desperate because she has to get home. She has to go to work. Like,
right.
So she puts herself on the Oaks parking garage, like, wait list. And lo and behold, later on in the summer, the school does cut a deal with the Oaks for a special parking pass. $600 for a J-Lot parking pass.
Where is J-Lot?
Past C-Lot.
Oh my God.
So they made them pay the price of a private garage parking pass, which is literally right next door to where they live, for a public university's parking lot.
When they could have just used C-Lot.
So what do visitors do when they come? Because it used to be, like, if you're having someone stay over your dorm, like, I don't know, if you're drinking one night or something, you don't want someone to drive unsafely home, then you could have them park in C-Lot and then come and stay over at your dorm.
And so, wait, is that lot that they got the new, that deal with, is that overnight?
Yes, so the Oaks, that's the special parking, like, privileges that they get
just for people
who are on the Oaks parking garage waitlist, and that's why they wanted them on the waitlist, because they knew they'd be willing to pay that amount of money.
That's any ridiculous. Visitors to this campus, if they stay over for a late night, if they stay over to go drinking, if they stay over for any reason, maybe it's a stormy weather, snowing ridiculously hard, they can't park, otherwise they'll get a $35 ticket.
The same rule holds that did, like, in years past, where, like, parking services doesn't work on, like, the weekend, so, like, Friday after 5 until, like, Monday or whatever.
Right.
But it's not, like, weekday, that's, like, not a thing. Thursday? Nope.
Nickel night?
Nope.
No, that's, yeah. That's great. Yeah. I park in, F lot, which is kind of right behind Sergeant Peps, if anyone knows where that is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That lot.
It's a great lot. Please don't park there. It's my parking spot. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Special place.
Yeah. No, but I really do like that lot, because I get there at a good time. That's convenient for me, and I still have a spot. But one night I was coming out of, actually from Wuss, and I was leaving when a girl comes up to me, and she's just like, "Hey, is this overnight parking?" And I'm like, "No." And I had to look up. First of all, they make it extremely difficult for you to find out which ones are actually overnight. Not. And I found out there was, like, one in, like, an obscure part behind, like, the agriculture building somewhere. And I was like, and she was like, "Yeah, I live at Northwest." And I'm like, "I'm so sorry." It was, like, late at night. It was raining. It was a whole thing. I felt really bad.
Parking.
Yeah. That's, like, I think that sums up our conversation. Like,
it's just
parking.
I've been, like, the past few weeks, because the first day we came back on campus, my brother drove me to school, because he's not going to school this semester. Yeah, and he really wanted to come with me, so I thought that was nice. And I didn't realize how terrible parking was, because we drove in late, so I was expecting everything to be full. And then the second day, I drove myself, parked up behind McMahon, like I usually do ever since my parking from behind Buckley in B lot was taken away, and then Bishop was taken away.
Oh, that's area 2 now. It's like GATA parking,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, it's GATA, and then there was like 30 spots behind Bishop last year, and we had that for a semester, and then they took it away. So then I was parking
Yikes.
Up behind McMahon.
Oh.
So second day of classes, I'm up behind McMahon. I'm watching some commuters, like, circling around, and I'm like, "That's so weird. Why are they helicoptering at this time of the day? It's 8:15. There should be spots." I go down to one side.
No.
There's some spots open. And I'm like, "Okay, this is strange." I just jumped into a spot, wondering why everyone's circling around.
Right.
And then I was double checking. I was like, "Yep, okay, that person's a commuter. Area 2, commuter, area 2, because it's a mixed lot."
Yep.
Looking around and everything, go to my class, come back, and then I realized that I got a ticket. They changed it to all staff parking.
Oh, that's awful.
That is terrible.
I think that's a great way to end the conversation.
It's
just, that's like the perfect.
Aren't you glad that Amanda's here to tell the story with us today, that she survived? I'm grateful.
All right, man.
So it was lovely to have you ladies on the show with me today.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for coming. Thanks for ranting. Thanks for...
Oh, I didn't even get to all of it. Oh,
wow.
Another 25 minutes of
Well, so I'm going to say a big thank you to the Daily Campus for collaborating with us, and a big shout out to Ethan Smith, the creator of our intro music. I've been your host, LJ Karam, and my relevant fun fact for the day is that another word for umbrella is bumbershoot. You're listening to WHUS Stores 91.7 FM. Signing off for now. Have a wonderful weekend.